It's the Tuesday FLX morning, and I do believe it's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health at 8:39. Laura Turbide is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
You know the drill. We always start with any particular news or notes or things going on within the company.
Sure. Well, we are always, as you know, we're still looking for great team members. So without question, we have the licensed practical nurse program. We have an RN program. So if there are people out there who are looking to get more information, we're always in good stead there. We also have our CNA program, which is an ongoing training program. So I will just say, if there's people out there listening, if you're thinking whether it's a career change you're thinking of, whether it's you're sort of tired of that traveling and you want to come back home and work for a great organization, come find us.
Yeah, that's the thing with the educational component is if you're, you know, career transition, you can be transitioned fairly quickly.
Absolutely. And you can also build a real ladder with us at Finger Lakes Health. So we're small enough that we can really invest in you. We'll provide that tuition buyback if you have tuition debt and things. We also offer scholarships as well as tuition assistance if you want to continue your education once you're with us. So I just think it's, you never want to miss the moment to be able to share that with folks who might be out there listening.
Tell us about orthopedic surgery, and one of your newest providers.
I love it when we can bring a new provider and a new physician who has joined us this summer. I always love it when we're able to bring new services to the community. So I'm here today with Dr. Nikolai Becker. Dr. Becker did his medical school at Georgetown and then his residency at Georgetown and then did a hand and upper extremity fellowship. And we'll talk a little bit more, and he can talk a little bit more about that in Erie. Also has worked, so he came to us as an experienced orthopedic surgeon, also having worked in Virginia. So brings a lot of expertise to us here at the Finger Lakes. He's now with Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery, which is right around the corner here in what is Finger Lakes Health Commons on Preemption Road. And the phone number is 781-0993 for people who are looking to make an appointment. But we're going to talk a little bit about everything, like carpal tunnel, hand injuries, sports. Like, I think we can hit a lot of it today.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let Dr. Becker do the talking because he's the one that bringing the expertise.
Welcome. It's good to have you here.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here.
I'm sure Laura has warned you in advance about my biographical grilling, so I'm always just interested in hearing the paths that people took. We were just having a talk off the air about someone we know navigating that path through the career field and trying to figure out what they want to do. So tell us about what got you into medicine and then this specialty.
Sure. So I grew up actually outside of Boston originally. Then after finishing high school there, I went off to Chicago, did my undergrad studies at the University of Chicago, and I actually started college thinking I was going to do medicine. I'd already developed an interest in it. I mean, I think a lot of kids do at that age who want to go down this career path. It was, you know, it started in high school biology, you know, doing those dissections of the pigs and the frogs and all that kind of stuff, and I thought this seemed like a pretty good career. But then in college, I had a lot of different interests, so I explored lots of different fields. I ended up majoring in philosophy, and actually during college thought I might try to get a PhD, and I'd sort of given up on the medicine thoughts. But then at the end of college, I sort of, you know, had done a 360 and came back and decided that, you know, medicine really was my calling. And so applied to med school, ended up at Georgetown, did my 4 years at Georgetown and then another year at the NIH doing some research because I thought, you know, maybe I'll try to be a clinician scientist and do some research and stuff, and then realized that it really wasn't for me, the whole research side of stuff. I really liked the practical side of medicine, taking care of patients, you know, putting in my day's work. Research was actually too slow for me in terms of I wanted to see results and progress faster than that. But it was a great experience, and then I ended up staying in Georgetown to do my residency. I had a wonderful experience there, great mentors. And then after I finished that, I actually worked in Northern Virginia for a bit for a health system called the Nova Health. That was my first job. And then I did just sort of general orthopedics, a little bit of everything, knee replacements, hip replacements, sports injuries, kind of everything that would come across my desk. Following about a year or two of that, I then did the hand fellowship, as you mentioned, up in Erie, Pennsylvania. Dr. Lubon was a great mentor up there. And that was part of the UPMC health system. And Erie was a great experience, you know, sort of this community that was 2 hours from everywhere else, you know, 2 hours from Buffalo and 2 hours from Pittsburgh. So
it's a great city.
And it was great on the lake, and I really came to love the Great Lakes region. But because of that, we had a great experience there in terms of what we got to see, because people didn't leave Erie for healthcare. It was too far. So people stayed, and so we had this wide variety of stuff to take care of. It was a really good place to train. Following that, ended up in Virginia with a private practice doing orthopedics and doing just mostly hand surgery. And that was just the randomness of getting a job. Virginia wasn't a particular thing to us. Me and my wife just ended up down there because it was a good job opportunity. Started a family down there, two little kids, and then my wife actually got a residency spot up here in Rochester, and so that brought us up here. And so when that happened, I had to find a job up here.
All right.
And luckily, it turned out that the hand surgeon here at Finger Lakes had left recently, just before that, and so there's this golden opportunity.
Well, Laura mentioned earlier carpal tunnel syndromes. Let's start kind of with there and computer-related injuries, because things like carpal tunnel used to only affect, you know, secretaries that worked with typewriters. Now we all sit in front of computers all day long. So what are some of the risks, and what should we do in terms of prevention of these kinds of injuries?
One of the things people don't really expect with it is that I actually, in terms of occupations, probably see more carpal tunnel coming out of construction workers.
Oh.
I had roofers. That's what I'd heard a lot of.
Wow.
Yeah, people, manual laborers, anyone who's working with hands, in particular anyone who's working with power tools that vibrate. That vibration seems to be damaging to the nerves over time. So I see a lot of mechanics, a lot of construction workers who are doing, you know, maybe just general construction, like framing houses and stuff. Some finer woodworkers, cabinet makers and things, people who just end up using a lot of power tools all day long. A lot of those guys and girls get carpal tunnel.
Does it help if you take breaks, or is there any technique you can use to minimize the risk?
You know, with a lot of these people, the job has demands they just can't ignore. So, I mean, you tell a construction worker to take a break and they kind of laugh at you. So, you know, you do what you can, but honestly, a lot of times it may be unavoidable for some of these careers. So, but luckily, carpal tunnel is easy to take care of these days. You know, the days of being in a splint for a month and being all wrapped up and out of work for 4 or 8 weeks, that's long gone. You know, carpal tunnel's really evolved over the years. Technology's gotten a lot better. Our techniques for doing the surgery have really advanced over the decades. And so now, you know, for certain jobs, you can be back at work the next day. You know, still with people who do more heavy work, the construction workers and whatnot, welders, they're still going to be out for a few weeks. But it's a much easier recovery than it used to be.
And that's been a theme with a lot of the people I've talked with over the years. The most amazing thing to me, I think, in medicine over the last decade or a couple of decades is the shrinking recovery times. I mean, injuries that used to lay people up for 6 months and now, you know, hip replacements, they're out walking the next day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some people are getting hip replacements and leaving the same day.
Yeah, same day, leaving.
So, we have learned a lot over the years about how to optimize the procedures for recovery. Meaning the procedure is still basically the same. You know, that hasn't changed a whole lot. You still have to fix the same problems, and a lot of the solutions are still basically the same. But figuring out how to do it in a way that doesn't lay you up for a few months and gets you back to work. I mean, a lot of what we deal with in orthopedics, in the end, is work-related. You can't do your job if your hand isn't working. You know, most of us, even who have the least demanding jobs, still need hands to do our jobs, right?
Yeah, what is the, something like half the bones in our body are in our hands or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a high concentration in our hands. And that was what brought me to hand surgery when I was doing all my training. You know, you're going through your training and you need to figure out, what am I going to actually do with my life? You know, there's lots of different fields of orthopedics these days. Everything is so subspecialized. Most people, I think 99% now of all orthopedic surgeons, are subspecialized in one kind of orthopedics or another. And with me, the hand just had this huge variety of problems. It was complex anatomically. I mean, the hand is a beautiful thing with all the tendons and the bones that all have to work in concert with each other. And there's a wide variety of problems. No 2 days are really the same. So when I go to work, I'm going to see a huge different variety of problems. And it's not that repetitive for me, which I like. I like the variety. I like having a different challenge each day.
I read a story. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, what proportion when you go in for a day, for example, what proportion of it would you say these occupational workplace repetitive things versus sort of trauma or injury, particularly because I know we're in an agricultural region and sometimes there's a lot of farm accidents and other things. Is it a mix for you pretty regularly?
I'd probably say about half of what I see is either work or trauma related, and the other half is just the random stuff, and then some what we might call degenerative age-related problems. But yeah, there's certainly, in hand surgery, you do have a higher proportion of work-related injuries than you do in some other fields of medicine. Before I came here, I also worked in a rural area in Virginia, and so I had a lot of farmers down there. So I'm used to taking care of a lot of farmers who actually make great patients because they just want to get back to work.
Yeah,
they're not really looking to sit on their couch for a month. You know, the farm needs to be tended, so their motivation to get back and working is wonderful.
one of those degenerative things that affects women more than men is osteoporosis. Are we getting any further along in research as to how to prevent that bone loss?
Yeah, the data keeps getting better every year. There are modern medications called the bisphosphonates, which are used widely now, which have been very effective in reducing the number of fractures that people get from osteoporosis, particularly women after menopause, and in particular Caucasian women are at very high risk for osteoporosis. My partner, Dr. Helen Wong, runs an osteoporosis clinic at the office, a great place to get tested and, if necessary, get the proper medications. Not everyone will need the medications, but certainly I think most women after menopause should be tested, because with the loss of the estrogen hormones from menopause, the bone density in women starts to drop dramatically, and so that's really important.
I know a lot of the groundbreaking work in medicine is being done with athletes, and I know you've worked a lot with athletes. Talk about what you do getting athletes back onto the field and keeping them there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mostly end up dealing with athletes' hand injuries just because that's my specialty. You know, if it's ACLs or knee injuries and stuff, usually they'll see one of my partners or people who specialize in the knee. For the hand, and with a lot of athletes, it's a lot of fractures, honestly, especially sports like hockey or baseball, where the ball or the puck might hit you in the hand. And you can break a finger through a hockey glove. I've seen that happen a number of times. And so with athletes in particular, you're really trying to strike a balance between getting them healed and getting them back to play. And obviously, usually the athlete just wants to go back to play. It's usually their desire. They don't really want to take any time off. But sometimes you have to. So it's fun taking care of athletes. I really enjoy it. Again, highly motivated individuals. They want to get back to play. They don't want to sit around, you know, doing nothing for months. So it's a good relationship.
I like to talk about this with providers, and that's the psychological aspect. You have an injury, and the first time you have to go back and put the full weight on that joint or bone or whatever. How do you help people through
usually,
that hesitance?
I'll actually give more thanks to the physical and occupational therapist than to me for that one, because usually what happens, I'm seeing the athlete, you know, every couple of weeks as I check in on them as they're healing, but they're working with the therapists typically on an almost daily basis, and also their trainers. You know, if they're a college level athlete, they're going to have a trainer who's working with them. And they're really the ones who help the athletes mentally get through it. You know, one that always takes a bit of mental trust and advancement is an Achilles tear. So a lot of athletes will get an Achilles tear, and a lot of times they won't trust their ankle.
Right.
For doing, you know, they'll be back to walking and jogging fine, but to trust it for, you know, big explosive motions, jumping, leaping, that kind of stuff, or sprinting, you know, really high level physical activity, that can really be something they need to overcome. And it can be a long injury. You know, you see someone with Achilles tear, that's a 6-month injury, really, for an athlete. But, you know, the therapists do a great job.
I was going to ask, in terms of hand injury, we know if there's a trauma or some kind of injury, people generally know to go. They'll go to the ER, they'll get referred to you, they'll go via urgent care, whatever way they find their path to you. But in terms of some of the more repetitive work kinds of things, what are some of the, what sort of the criteria, the time when it's time to come for that carpal tunnel, how do they know when it's the tipping point?
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the athletes for one more second, and we'll talk about carpal tunnel after that. You know, there's been some advancements, too, in how we fix hand fractures with the athletes. There are newer techniques that involve what's called an intramedullary screw, which is a screw that goes inside the bone. And I recently had a baseball player, high school level, who had fractured one of the metacarpals. And normally that would be in a cast for a few weeks and then a brace and then rehabbing. But by able to put the screw inside the bone, it was immediately stable.
Wow.
And so no cast. You know, early range of getting movement, you know, within the first couple of weeks, getting those fingers moving, and back to playing ball, you know, in about 3 to 4 weeks. So that, you know, the bone wasn't fully healed, but the screw is strong enough that you can let them get back to sports fast. And so the less time you take off, the less stiff you get, the less,
right,
you know, rehab you need to end up doing. So that was wonderful. What was your question about carpal tunnel again?
Just curious in terms of when is that criteria, in terms of, you know, how long should people just sort of live with things, live with that discomfort, versus how do they know when it's time to come see you?
Yeah, I would recommend that people come in as soon as they start noticing it. I think it's never really too early to take care of carpal tunnel. We know with carpal tunnel that long term, if you don't take care of it, the side effects can be permanent. And so if you don't get the nerve treated appropriately early on in the phase, the damage to the nerve can be irreparable. And so I really recommend that as soon as you start feeling any numbness or tingling or waking up at night with your hand asleep, you come in to see somebody. Either me or your primary care doctor, just get the process started. Get some testing done on the nerves, and that way we can treat it appropriately. Because it's one of those things where, you know, a stitch in time, it's that kind of situation. So if you can get in early, carpal tunnel is essentially 100% reversible, and there'd be no real significant permanent problems. But if you come in late, if you start having muscle loss and you've been living with it for years, I have people come in who've been living with it 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're lucky and we can still get a full recovery. But a lot of times when it's been going on that long, I have to tell people, you know, we can make you better, but I can't make you fully right anymore.
I have to jump in here because we're almost out of time for this segment. Dr. Nikolai Becker has been with us, orthopedic surgeon with Finger Lakes Health. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for sharing it with us today.
It's been a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right, Laura, thank you as always.
Thanks, Tad.
All right. We get good advice. I get free medical advice here every 2 weeks. With nothing not to like there. 855 FLX Morning.